Good morning, everyone. How are you today? Good, good. And I'm very happy to be here. I've enjoyed my weekend so much, and I want to thank all of the Denver folks in this fabulous region for having us region chairs here, because it's been a blast. It's been just amazing. So grateful to be here. As I said before, I'm a grateful abstinent compulsive overeater from actually Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, which is by Minneapolis in Region 4, and Unity Intergroup. I've been in OA for almost 30 years. I have pictures that are starting to go around that show the ups and downs of my compulsive eating from starts early on, sort of about just before I got married, and you looked like I didn't have a problem when I was married, but that was like after I lost a bunch of weight. So anyways, I'm down about 80 pounds from my highest weight, which was 208, and I've been abstinent for 13 years, and I have been maintaining my weight loss, so I suppose about 12 of that. I didn't pay that much of attention. I just was glad to be going down and glad to get there. So if you did the math, you know it took me about 17 years to get there. And, you know, I'll tell you a little bit about that. It was on again, off again, abstinence. It was periods, you know, short periods, brief periods, long periods, 6 months, 3 weeks, 5 minutes, 2 days, you know, whatever. Just varied depending on, because I was a compulsive eater. I tried some of the tricks that we try not to eat and discovered that frozen cookies taste better. So that didn't work, and discovered that if you don't bring it in the house and you're a compulsive eater, that's too bad. You're going to find a way to get it anyways. And if you're lazy like me and don't want to go out of the house, or, you know, it would be too obvious to leave the house, you just go into the cupboard and grab some ingredients and put them together. Mm-hmm. You know, so combine some things that are pretty high in caloric content and certainly not good for me. Peanut butter is one of those things that I use, and I don't eat peanut butter or eat peanuts of any kind. I just, the smell goes, no, not going to work. And that's what I love about abstinence, is knowing that it's not about I can't, you know, what I can or can't have. It's like, that doesn't work for me, you know. Doesn't feel safe to have that food. I don't like that way. So, like I said, last time, those 17 years weren't lost times. I, you know, learned a lot. But I was going to tell you about my miracle. So, I love this story. It makes me very happy. 17 years is a long time to wait. And I had been doing a lot of things, but I couldn't maintain the abstinence. No matter what I did, I couldn't maintain it. And one day, I realized that I was not willing to do what I needed to do. And more importantly, I realized there was no way in the world I was ever going to make that happen. I couldn't do it. So I just told my higher power, I says, okay, God, here's the deal. I am not willing, and I can't conjure that up for myself. If I could, I would have done that a long time ago. So guess what? That's your job. And in the meantime, I'm just going to do some things. And I stopped trying to make it happen. And I would read. I read repeatedly a commitment to abstinence before you take that first compulsive bite, a plan of eating. My old copies are all highlighted and underlined, and I journaled about them, made lots of phone calls, went to extra meetings. And at one of the meetings I went to, somebody suggested I write down what I was willing to do. I'm like, okay, I can do that. So I wrote down like three to five things and put it on a little, typed it up because I can't read my own writing, and I knew I would need to read it. Why would I need to read it every time? Because I knew I'd forget. 17 years of practice had reminded me that I couldn't keep that in my head at all. You know, that I couldn't remember. I can clearly remember times thinking, I know there's a reason why I don't want to do this, but I can't tell you what it is. My mind was blank. They talk about the strange mental blank spot in the book, Big Book, and it's like, yeah, I identify with that. Anyways, so I wrote it down, and I read it at every meal. It's like, am I still willing? Yes, I'm still willing. Added a couple more the next day. And soon after that, I literally woke up one morning and went, oh, that's what I got to do. And I had the willingness to act on that. And it was like, I knew in that moment something was different. It was not the same as anything I'd experienced before. And it was amazing. It's like I never looked back. And once I got that gift, I knew 70 years of struggle. I don't want to lose it. I'm a little afraid of what will happen if I do. And I'd had enough practice knowing what happens when you take that first bite. So anyway, step 10 is continue to take personal inventory. And when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Well, you know, I was really surprised to discover how much food I had been eating. I heard last night about that, you know, that when I stopped eating, it's like all these desserts were left over. But I was even more amazed to discover all these feelings I was having. Oh my gosh. It was like this. I remember in the car one day, no wonder I went back to the food all the time. This is intense. You know, I was like, oh my God, I can't do this. Anyhow, I realized that I had three choices when something came up. When a feeling came up, I had three choices. I could be miserable, which didn't sound like a good option. After all, I'd been eating compulsively all this time just to avoid that. I could go back into the food, which I didn't want to do, or I could start solving these problems, start figuring out. So in effect, my step 10, in a very informal way, started at that point because I was continuously working through problems. And I'd say to my sponsor, another one, you know, this person, why do I have to do the work? This person is the one who's behaving badly, you know. But, you know, it's like, oh, my God. But the one thing I noticed over time is that I had fewer and fewer problems that came up for me. And because in addition to finding solutions to my problems, I was also finding new ways to live that brought peace and sanity that were not. And I was just developing new skills for life that I had never developed because I was too busy stuffing down my problems. I came to see that, a friend of mine had a song that she wrote that says, the answer is lies within. And it's like, you know, the answer lies within, my friend, the answer lies within. That means that when something is bothering me, I have work to do. I need to look at the reason beyond the reason, and sometimes the reason beyond that. So, for example, if I am upset that someone yelled at me, it's easy enough to say I'm upset because they yelled at me. It's like their problem. Then I can look at it a little closer and say, well, the reason may be that I think everybody that I'm upset is because everybody should treat me nice. You know, after all, I'm a nice person. I mean, it makes sense to me. But then the reason beyond that is that I was judging others by their actions, but expected them to judge me by my intentions. So it's like, you need to behave well. But you need to understand that I meant well. And no, it doesn't work that way. So what do we do about all these things that continually come up, even after we've done our steps four through nine? After all, this is life on life's terms. And that was one of the big realizations I had is that life happens to everybody. It's not just me. What did I hear somebody saying last night repeatedly? It's not all about me. Not me either. Go figure. Anyways, I thought about the three A's, or at least one of the sets of three A's. Acknowledge the problem. And, you know, just acknowledge I have a problem. Accept the problem. And that is how, you know, so I have an example. If somebody, my ex-husband used to constantly interrupt me. You know, then I need to accept the problem. I can't change him. Lord knows I tried. My solution was to let him know I would end the conversation if he kept interrupting me, and then I would follow through. Now, in retrospect, that wasn't necessarily even the best solution, but it was what I could come up with at that moment. At least it got me out of the conversation, so I wasn't there arguing with him and getting angry and frustrated. So And since I mentioned the word accept, I'd like to just switch over to a section in my talk here on acceptance. I think it's an important concept to look at acceptance because until I accept the problem, I'm not going to be willing to move forward on the solution. So I need to have that acceptance. So, where to go? Okay. Now, I have a feeling that other people know this, but there's the acceptance prayer found on page 417 in the big book. And I just, you know, this tells us that acceptance is the answer to all my problems. When I am disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, thing, or situation, some fact of my life unacceptable to me, and I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing, or situation as being exactly the way it is supposed to be at this moment. Now, acceptance is one of those odd things because there are people who do things that are, you know, for lack of a better word, bad, you know, that are whatever their motives are, whatever the reasons are, but they're painful, they hurt people, and that sort of thing. So it doesn't, I just want to differentiate between acceptance. Acceptance is not agreement, endorsement, or approval. I don't agree with what the person did. I don't have to like what the person did or does or how they behave. I just need to accept it. Acceptance tells me that what is, is. Ask the question, now what am I going to do about it? And gives me the ability to make decisions, to act rather than to react. And we've probably all heard that, acting on life rather than reacting to it. And acceptance gives me the ability to make those choices. So once I accept it, then I can move ahead with my 4 through 9. Sorry, how much time do I have left? Oh, thank you. Okay. So now I think that step 10 is a great way to move through those three A's that I mentioned before. Step 4, I was thinking about it, trying to tie the steps to it. Step 4, I think, certainly is acknowledging the problem. Step 5 is acknowledging and acceptance. You know, it brings me that acceptance that this is the situation because I've said it out loud to somebody else now. And 6 to 9 is where the action is. Others may see it differently, and I might change my mind another day, but that was my thoughts as I was processing it. Now, how do you do step 10? Well, there's many ways of doing step 10. And the most important thing is that we do it, that we start doing something. If you're looking for a step 10, I know the AA 12 and 12 and the AA Big Book have lots of good things on it. Our OA, Overeaters Anonymous, 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, has a good section on doing step 10. And just for those of you that don't know, I imagine everybody does, but come about January, our third edition of the Overeaters Anonymous 12 Steps and 12 Traditions will be coming out, and I'm super excited about that because there's been some wonderful changes to it. Anyways, we have our 12-step workbook, and then we have our newest 12-step workshop and study guide, which... How many of you have seen that book? It's actually quite amazing, and I have not gone through it yet, but I looked at the things on step 4, and it's just wonderful. And step 10 has got some two different things that we can use. It's got doing a step 10, spot check inventory in 4 boxes based on having done the step 4. And then the step 10, it also has the daily review. And I really like the daily review because it focuses on both the positive and the challenges and asks us to grow. And how does it do that? We have a place to list the things we're grateful for, a place to list things I like about myself. That doesn't come easily to compulsive readers. That was a hard one for me to learn. I was telling somebody recently when I was running for region chair, or when I was thinking about running for region chair, there were people that seemed to be glad about that. And I was baffled. I was just baffled. I couldn't figure it out. So I literally went to them In this case, not fishing for compliments like I used to do all the time, but just to understand so I could own whatever it was they were seeing. And, you know, because I knew I'd be a more effective leader if I felt more confident about myself. And so that's a difficult thing. It also has questions to help any identify issues that may have come up. Questions similar to those in the big book and those that we've seen on some of the workshops on step four. It also has a two-column sheet that is effectively a way to pray. It's got freedom from, where you list your defects of character and replace it with freedom to, which is the corresponding asset. And so you say a prayer based on your defects that you've identified. You know, please remove this defect and replace it with this one. And I just think that's a lovely, lovely way to do step 10. I am looking forward to trying the workshop. I'm hoping to get one going with my group in the fall very soon. One of our intergroups did it, and they actually offered it via phone for people that wanted to get on. And it was very successful. And our region vice chair, who does not live in the area where this was going on, got on the phone because he wanted to see how it was like as a phone. And he said it actually worked quite well. And they had it on 5:30 on Friday nights for like 2 hours. And, you know, they just kept coming because it was going well, and people really grew and recovery grew. So I'm just making a plug for our wonderful literature that we have available. However, as I mentioned, my step 10 is often done informally. Seems to match my personality, and you know, it worked for so long. You know, if it's not broken, why fix it? And basically what I do is I keep a notebook handy, and I jot down things that are going on in my life. I talk to my sponsor at this point like 3 days a week. So I just kind of keep it sponsor notes. And then I'll jot down things that are going on. Sometimes it's just things, you know, things that are amusing things or things I just want to share. And then I also include the difficulties, the struggles that come up. And I have to acknowledge that when I recognize a difficulty, I have to run very fast to my notebook and jot it down, because if I don't, I will probably forget, and I'll be sitting there going, now what was going on? That's been a struggle of mine, is remembering, now what did I deal with today? Where did my issues come up? But I also have a blessings jar in which I put slips of paper. I write 3 to 5. It's been more, but it's usually at least 3 to 5 blessings of that day. And it can be successes. It can be just wonderful encounters with people, or, you know, just I didn't get mad, you know, I didn't get stressed out, you know. Like, we've had so much confusion with my hotel reservation and roommate situation, and it's like something comes up, you know, okay, you know, and that's a success because I didn't have to call suicide prevention like somebody did. Actually, I had a sponsee text me one time and go, suicide prevention. And I said, yes. Oh, my goodness. Anyways, I have to say I have learned to recognize my discomfort more or less automatically. You know, when I'm uncomfortable, I intuitively know that, uh-oh, I got to look inside again. You know, what's going on? What's happening here? And I move through the steps so quickly, the 4 through 9s, that I'm not identifying what I'm on. I'm just kind of running the process, kind of a shortened process of it. I can no longer go on ignorance is bliss now. I don't enjoy justifiable anger anymore because I can no longer justify it. I always know that the problem is inside of me. No matter what the other person's doing, the problem is inside of me. So, oh my goodness, how much time do I have?
Almost 10.
I've got to talk very slow now.
No worries. You can finish whenever you finish.
May I finish early?
You may
Thank
finish
you.
Whenever you finish.
I have permission to finish early, which is fine. I wanted to mention AA 12 and 12, page 98 in chapter on step 11. It states there's a direct linkage among self-examination, meditation, and prayer. Taken separately, these practices can bring much relief and benefit. But when they are logically related and interwoven, the result is an unshakable foundation for life. And then it goes on to say, self-searching is the means by which we bring new vision, action, and grace to bear on the dark and negative side of our natures. And who of us really wants to admit that we have a dark and negative side? But it is so fun when we bring it out and shine the light on it and it disappears. So it's worth taking a look at. I really enjoy doing that. In doing this, I can more easily work through my step 10 and get the blessings of recovery, including what is often referred to as a second set of promises or the hidden promises or whatever you want to call it in the AA Big Book. I love the original ones that we often refer to and read at our meetings. But as a compulsive overeater who has to eat 3 meals a day and deal with food on a consistent basis, this one was the most important one to me. And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. For by this time, sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we will recoil from it as if from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor or food, in our case, has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. We are not fighting it, nor are we avoiding temptation. How sweet is that? We feel as though we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed for us. It does not exist. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. This is our experience. That is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. Now, you know, those promises are so important to me because I experience that. I don't have that need, you know, I don't have that temptation going on. I've been free of desserts for, oh my goodness, almost 20 years now. And one other binge food too. But that's another story. But I just, you know, that recoil from a hot flame, I mean, you know, I'll be in the store and I don't know what it is about what I call the pretty things, you know, they always have them set up on displays. And I look, oh, no, what are you doing in that? Eyes off. I've been known to do what I call shake it off, you know, it's like, ooh, no, you know, just to try to, like, get the thought out of my head as fast as it even comes in before it has a chance to lodge, and doesn't take very long for it to lodge. The other thing is that last experience. That is how we react so long as, or last sentence, so long as we keep in spit, I do that all the time, spiritual condition. And how do we do that? By continuing to work the steps on a daily basis. I can't say how much this program means to me. I can't tell you the blessings that have come into my life as a result of this. I am, by nature, a very shy, inward person. I was, like many people, a number of people, certainly taunted child. Just, you know, some horrible things said, and I've heard things that other people said to others that are as bad or worse, and but it was painful, and I withdrew. It started very suddenly, and so I was fine one day, and then all of a sudden I wasn't. And it set up a lifelong question about when am I okay? And so this program helped me first to feel not so alone, then to feel like I had maybe had something to offer, that I was somehow worthwhile. I'm still always surprised. And it's funny because all those compliments I went fishing for, they just came to me automatically when I was just doing my work, doing my program, doing my steps and behaving. And people would say things. I'm like, oh, wow, thanks. You know, I wasn't even trying to get them from them, which makes it even better. But I have get to travel. You know, you've heard us talk about as a region chair. Now, I know not everybody's going to be region chair, but I just have so much more joy in my life. I feel so much more confident in my life. I love to make people smile. I love to try and make people smile. I'll see somebody who looks grumpy and make it my mission to see if I can make them smile. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but it's fun to try. Thank you. Thank you. So, yes, I am so pleased to be here, so pleased to be celebrating 13 years of abstinence. And thank you. And if anybody's interested, our Region 4 is having a convention next June 22nd through 24th in St. Louis, Missouri. If you are thinking about going to St. Louis or live near there and want information, let me know. I'll hook you up. Which is exciting for me because June 24th is my abstinent date. And June 22nd is my miracle date. That's the day I went, oh. So it's like perfect date range for me. Thank you for allowing me to speak, and have a wonderful rest of your day. Thank you.
Thank you, Annette.